Genesis chapter 1, and I know that might take a while, but if you could open it there, that's where we're going to be tonight, the book of Genesis chapter 1. I will remind those of you that are going Christmas caroling with us, please, ladies, if you would, wear a skirt or dress, and it's, you know, down nice below the knee, and that'd be a blessing. We like everybody that's going to come, all the ladies or girls that way. And men, don't wear your shorts, okay? Just don't wear your Bermudas or your tank tops. Let's try to look good, all right? Let's try to look good. Brother Pike, it disappoints you. You were planning to wear that tank top, weren't you? And I was afraid of that, but you know what? Well, but not tomorrow night, okay? Not tomorrow night. All right, Genesis chapter 1, if you will. Genesis chapter 1. Look down. We're going to begin right there at verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the day. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us now. We open the Word of God. Might you speak to us, and Lord, show us some truth, and that we'd remember it, hang on to it, and Lord, you'd be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What you believe about the first chapter of Genesis pretty much determines what you're going to believe about the rest of the Bible. I mean, it really does. There are multitudes of people who seem to think, well, it doesn't matter whether you accept the first, maybe usually say 10 chapters of Genesis as historical fact. They say, well, it doesn't make any difference. Well, it does make a difference. All right? It makes a great difference what you believe. And most people that question chapter 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, they question the whole Bible, if you don't know the truth. I saw the other day on the internet 25 scholars. The statement was that scholars look at these 25 historical people and think they didn't really exist. When I saw that, I knew immediately who one of them would be. I knew immediately one they were going to question was Jesus Christ. And another one they questioned is Moses. Now, they were kind of finessing with what they said. I want to read. I want to see if they do it. And what they said about Jesus Christ and Moses both was they didn't question necessarily that there was an individual named Jesus Christ and that there was a man named Moses, but they didn't really do what the Bible said they did, all right? In other words, that the Bible depiction of them, you can't believe that. Well, you can, all right? You can. Hey, by the way, can I say this to you? You can believe what this says more than you can believe the front page of the newspaper tomorrow, okay? You can believe this a lot more, put a lot more confidence in what this says than the Star Telegram, all right? Than the New York Tribune or any other paper that's out there. You can believe your Bible. You can trust it. Because you can't trust what you read printed all the time and it's called news stories, all right? You can't trust them, but you can trust your Bible. And but a lot of people don't, they really question the first few chapters of the Bible, all right? Now, but here we are, and thank God we know that part of the Bible, Genesis 1 is just as true as John 3:16. They're both just as true, all right? I mean, we can count on that. And what I want to look at tonight is some important truths that I want you to gather and understand, if we could, right here from the account of creation. And we're just going to pretty much stay right here. I'm going to ask you to turn to John a little bit later on, but pretty much we're going to be right here in Genesis, all right? I want you to notice, first of all, I want you to go back and take a look right there in verse 3. The Bible said, and God said. God said. if you read down through Genesis chapter 1, you're going to find those words 10 times. 10 times, God said. Boy, how great it is that the Bible begins with God said. It's what he had to say, all right? It's what it is. And the truth of the matter is that's what we find all through the Bible. It's what God said. Somebody else comes along and says, well, Paul said that. No, Paul said what God said. Paul wrote what God said. You say, well, John wrote that. Yeah, I know. But John wrote what God said, all right? And when we look at it, you can count on it. It's all what God said. It's what we find all through the Bible, everywhere. And by the way, it's what God says that matters. It's what God says that matters. Look, I would be happy to get up here and expound on any subject you wanted to ask about. Anything. You said, do you know anything? You think you're that smart? No, but I could expound on it. I could talk about it somewhere. I have sat down and talked to people that are great mechanics, and they're just spitting out that info, and I'm sitting there and I can talk to them about it. Really have no idea what we're saying. Now, I don't understand it. I don't understand camshafts. I know they're there, okay? I know they're there. I understand something about spark plugs. You need them, all right? Man, I don't know anything about that, but I can talk to you about it. And if you don't really ask me a real specific, pointed question, you come away saying, that guy, he knows what he's talking about. No, I don't. Don't have the foggiest idea. But we're not here tonight for you to hear my great wisdom, all right? We don't come to church to hear what man says. We come to church to hear what God says. And that's why when we stand, we preach you the word of God. Every word of this book is what God said, all right? And if it's not what he said, it's what he allowed somebody else to say and put in here for our benefit. But it's his word, all right? And by, could I just point this out? God said what he meant. God said what he meant. A lot of people seem to struggle with that, but he wasn't talking allegorically. He wasn't speaking in some kind of metaphysical terms, all right? Not at all. It's not, I kind of resent it when they put the Psalms, you get some of these new translations, they'll put it so it looks like poetry. And they say, well, it's the poetical books. I understand that. But here's my problem. I sit and listen to guys. I went to college. You might not be able to tell it. But I went to college. I sat in English class. And I listened to English teachers read poetry. I listened to my high school teachers read poetry. And they said, what does that say to you? Nothing. And I remember studying poetry, and they would begin to spout everything that was hidden in there, and this is what that means, and this is what they're trying to convey. And I'm taking my book going, where'd you see that, buddy? All right? I mean, I don't want. But they put it out there. It's open to everybody's interpretation. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God didn't put something out there and say, you interpret it the way you want. No, God meant what he said. God meant what he said, all right? What he said is what he meant. He meant when he said, let there be light, guess what? He meant for there to be light. That is exactly what he meant. He meant for the sun to give the light for the day, just as he said. And he meant for the moon for light at night. Now, wait a minute, it doesn't shine. Sure it does. We've heard that song, shine on harvest moon. Now, yes, I know that its light is reflected, but it still shines. And when it ain't shining, it's dark. All right, it's dark. God put it there, and when he said it was there for a light, that's what he meant. Now, obviously, he didn't mean, there were some nights he didn't mean for us to have light. Not much light, just the light of the stars. But hey, he meant what he said. He meant for the plants to grow. He meant for the fish to swim. He just go on and on and on. But everything he said, he meant what he said, all right? And I just will tell you, time hasn't changed that situation one bit in the world, all right? He still means what he says in this whole book. Hadn't changed. He still means what he says. And he says exactly what he means. You don't need a library to figure it out, okay? You don't need that. I was talking to somebody this morning, came this morning before church, sat down in the office, and we were talking, and they were telling me about reading the Bible and how they were, you know, some things they didn't grasp too good. And I began to talk to them about it. I said, here's what you do, all right? You keep reading the Bible. You keep reading the Bible. The Bible's not meant to read like the funny papers, all right? It's not meant to read like a news article. God's got some stuff there, and he tells us to study, to study. And when we get in those books that we find, they say, well, it's a little confusion. We'll keep studying. Keep studying. Now, I've got commentaries in my library, and I read, and I appreciate the commentator that says, he said, I come to this passage of Scripture, and he said, I'll be honest, I don't have any idea what it means. I appreciate that. You said, well, what about that? Well, what makes you think God's got to write a book where we understand every bit of it? The part that staggers me is not the part I don't understand. The part that just staggers me is the part I do understand. And I open that book up and I read it and I see what God's saying and I go, whoa. I've read it many times and I've thought, I better straighten up. I better not do that. Better not do that. God means what he says, all right? You don't have to go through everything. He still means what he says. It is just as true today as it was. Genesis chapter 1 is just as true today as it was the day Moses penned it. Said, how do you know Moses wrote it? Because God said he did. Jesus Christ said that Moses wrote it. And I've heard people say, and I've read, you know, where people say, well, there wasn't, you know, wasn't possible in those days. Who cares? Just because we haven't figured it out today doesn't mean it didn't happen. All right? That doesn't mean it didn't happen at all. So, number one, I want you to see God say it. But then I want you to look there in verse 4, I believe it is. Verse 4, notice what the Bible said. God saw. God saw. Those words appear 7 times in this chapter. God saw. So what is it? What are you talking about? Well, God saw what he made. God saw what he made. He didn't just, you know, create it and walk off. He saw what he made. He kept an eye on his work. He kept an eye on his work. He had made it. I believe he had a great interest in what he made. He didn't just make it and say, well, that's done. I'm going to go back to heaven, you know, and do whatever. No, he had an interest in what he made. He kept his eye. Hey, you read through the Bible, he kept his eye on Adam and Eve. Hey, read through your Bible, he keeps his eye on us. He's watching us. He's watching us, all right? He hadn't changed. He still sees what he's made. He made you. You ever get the idea you can hide from God? Man, are you in a mess. Now, you can hide from a lot of people. You can hide from a lot of people. I've hidden from folks before, all right? And I've done that, wanted to, and did. When I was a kid growing up, one of my favorite things to do was play hide-and-go-seek. Play hide-and-go-seek at night. And I remember we did that down in Florida, and we lived in Florida. Man, I loved playing hide-and-go-seek. I loved to be able to hide where somebody couldn't find you. And sometimes that was kind of out in plain sight. But you had to know how to do it. But you can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. He sees what he made. He sees what he made. He saw everything, all right? He saw everything that he made on the earth. He took a look at it. He saw it, and he kept an eye on it, all right? He made you. He sees you. Nothing you do is hidden from him. Don't care who you are. Don't care where you live. You say, I'm not important enough for God to keep an eye on me. Well, he does. Well, he does. Doesn't matter if you think so. You say, well, he's just one God. How can he do it? Well, that's because he's God. Amen. He's God. You know, we have a Christian school. You cannot keep your eye on every one of them kids every second. but we see a lot more than they think we do. All right, we see a lot more than they think we do. Sometimes I think God directs the eyesight. I'm serious. I think God just puts us in the right place at the right time to see. I could give you illustrations of that, not going to, but I was in a place and just happened to step up to a window, just happened to look out. I mean, there wasn't any reason to have gone. I didn't hear any sound, but I just happened to step up to a window, look out, and see some students and think, what are they doing? And went and watched and found out what they were doing was what they shouldn't have been doing. Well, there was a reason. There was a reason. God was in that. I've looked up in school before and saw kids do things that they had been looking around hoping you wouldn't see. But you just look up at the right instant. That's why your mom and dad, that's why your mom and dad, you think they had eyes in the back of their head. No, but they saw, all right? They saw, I'm going to tell you, everything they saw, God sees a lot more. God said. God said it, God said, and God saw. Now look, if you will, in verse 4. Look, if you will, in verse 4. We just read a little bit there. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now look at verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. It was so. I want you to see this. Not only did God say and God see, but he separated. He separated, all right? The Lord was in the business of creating division from the earliest history, all right? From the earliest history, he was in the business of creating division. Division was necessary. Division was necessary. You say, man, I wish it was light all the time. If you're in certain parts of Alaska, or really certain parts of the world, in the north part of the country, it seems daylight lasts forever. I've had evangelist friends that talk to me about going to Alaska to preach, and they say, man, it's great that I go up there and I preach, and after church I go fishing because it's light. It's light. I mean, there's just light. You say, boy, it'd be great. Well, not so much. You get sort of messed up. You get a little bit messed up. That your body is used to the rhythm of night and day, light and dark. All right? Your body's used to it. If you lived inside a cave, you'd be amazed at what it would do to you. You didn't come out because it would be constant. You were there, and constant no light, and the only light was when you had it on, you'd be amazed what it would do to you. Listen, God divided and God separated because things need to be divided, all right? That things need to be divided. One of the great things about God, he is the divider. Take your Bible. I told you we'd go to John. Go to John chapter 7, all right? John chapter 7, if you would, tonight. Our Lord is a great divider. Now, man thinks what we need to do is get everything and everybody together. That's not true. That's not true. The communist world would like to get the whole world under communism. Now, that thought, we don't hear it like we used to hear in the 50s and the 60s, but it's ever much true as it's ever been, all right? If you don't think the Chinese communists would like to have the whole world under communism, you need to crawl out from under the rock you've been under, all right? Because they would love to do that, all right? They would love to do that kind of thing. That man has this idea of the thing is we need to unite. Back yonder at the Tower of Babel, the idea, let's get everybody together. Let's get everybody together. We'll build a tower to heaven. We're going to have a one world faith, a one world religion, a one world government. That was their plan. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan for man now, okay? But man thinks that. Not only that, the Muslim world has a desire to unite the whole world in a caliphate under Sharia law. You said, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. It's exactly what they'd like to do. But don't you notice what John chapter 7, and drop down, if you will, there to verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. said, who's the him? Christ. Christ. There was a division over him, all right? Notice back up, if you will, and verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, if you will, verse 16, all right? Verse 16. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There was a division among them. Look in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Hey, did you listen real close there in all of this? The division was over what God said. It's over what he said. Now, what he said divided folks. Division is still necessary. It's still necessary. Now, it was brought about then because of what God said. It's still brought about today because of what God says. It is the truth of the Word of God that brings division in the world today. It's the truth of this book. You say, well, it's the interpretation. No, it's the truth of what it says. It is doctrine that divides people, all right? It divides people. You say, what kind of division? Well, there's division between what's right and what's wrong. Some people tell you there's a thin gray line between right and wrong. Where'd you get that idea? I think it's a sharply divided. When God says, thou shalt not, and you do, you're wrong. When God says, thou shalt, and you don't, you're wrong. You're wrong. Well, who do you think you are? I'm just a Bible believer. I'm really not anybody, but this book lays it out, okay? This book lays it out. We need that. He divides. It divides between truth and error. Hey, we need that division. We need that division. We need to be able to stand on the truth of the Word of God to be able to recognize error when it's there. We need that truth. Look, there is a multiplicity today of faiths and religions. There's a multiplicity of Christian denominations. And boy, there is argument, disagreement. He said, why? Because some of it's just simply because people won't take what the Bible says. Instead, they want to interpret it. And I'll give you my interpretation. See, I believe that's what it means. Well, why don't we just believe what it says? Why don't we just believe what it says instead of looking around and trying to dig something out that's not there? Hey, there is division. That division is good. It's not a bad thing. Well, there shouldn't be so much division in Christianity. There wouldn't be if people do what God says. If we'd just do what God says, there wouldn't be that great division. He said, you think you're the only one right. No, but I believe I'm right because I believe I'm with this book. With this book. But I don't believe I'm the only one right. I believe there's plenty of other people that are right. But we're only right when we're in agreement with what God says. Because it is what he said that took care of it, all right? It is that. The world may not like it, but God said you can expect division. You can expect division. He divided things at the Tower of Babel. He handled that situation very easily, very simply. There was no problem with it. He just confounded their language. And when you can't talk to somebody, you usually wander off and try to find somebody you can talk to. And so that's the way he handled it. Very simple thing. And he just divided that, and that's it, okay? He messed it up. You said, well, he ruined it. Well, okay, he did it, all right? He did it. He knew how to handle it. He brought in division. It is right. There's nothing wrong with division. It's a good thing. Hey, don't you do that, you cooks. You divide it. I've noticed my wife, she cooked beans. She'll dump out those beans. She'll go through them by hand. I think, just throw them in the pot. But if you do, you'll cook some rocks. You'll cook some rocks. So I'm glad she divides the rocks from the beans. I don't digest rocks very well. I don't chew them very well, all right? It doesn't work out, okay? It doesn't work out. So I'm glad that things can be divided. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad you can divide some things. God intended it for good. God said it. God said it. God saw it. And God separated. He separated. By the way, He wants us to be separated from sin. He wants us to be separated from sin. He tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. He wants us to separate ourselves from that which is wicked, that which is vile. We ought to separate ourselves. Why? So people recognize us as living for the Lord, all right? Living for Him. So He separated. But I want you to notice, too, He settled it. He settled it. Very, very much so, all right? You notice here in the book of Genesis chapter 1, all right? Chapter 1, let's look in verse 7 again. We read verse 7 just a moment ago. I want you to notice God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And notice those next four words. And it was so. It was so. Why? Because He said it. Because He said it. It was so. Final word. Final word. Nobody else jumped up and said, well, I think we ought to be. No. Nobody questioned what He did. Nobody questioned what He did. When Adam saw Eve, he didn't say, Lord, is that the best you can do? Nobody questioned what God did. Hey, what He did, God settled it, all right? Nobody suggested alternatives. Now, you may live in this world and think, well, why did God do this or why did God do that? Well, hey, you may not like it, but you don't get a vote. You know, I think that infuriates some people. Today we live in this world, you know, where we have the ability to vote on things, and it upsets people when they don't get a vote. Well, I'm sorry, but God didn't give you and I a vote on it, all right? What He said came about just as He said it would. It was so. We didn't vote. Nobody questioned. Nobody offered another alternative. It was just, there it is. That settles. That settles it. And whatever God says, that does settle it. You get people in argument, especially over religious things. And I've heard people say, now don't bring the Bible into this. You know why? Because that settles it. That settles it. When you get people voicing their opinion and giving their opinion, when you come up and say, well, you know what? The Bible says, and if anybody has any trust at all in the Bible, they realize that's it. That's it. That settles the whole situation. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference, all right? God's Word settles it. That is it. It's not open anymore for debate. It's what the Bible says. I was talking to a fellow the other day. Brother Kelly was there, and he mentioned his church. They don't have Sunday night service anymore. And I asked, I said, well, how come? And he said, I don't know. Well, you know, I would love to hear when people quit having a service, I would like to know why they quit. I'd like to know why they quit. And I said to this guy, and I know him well, we're friends, and I wasn't trying to provoke him. I said, well, you know, I never have. I said, no, a lot of churches have done that, don't understand it, because my Bible says that forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then it says, not and so much the more as we see that day approaching. Truth is, we ought not to be having less services, we ought to be getting together more, all right? Well, to get together more, not less. Man, people today, you fight such a huge spiritual battle everywhere you go, in everything, boy, we need that help. We need that encouragement. We need that push. Now, it's hard to get people to come, but we'll always usually have more on Sunday morning than we'll on Sunday night. You say, well, what are they doing? They're just sitting at home, most of them. They're sitting at home. They're not doing anything else. I used to say, well, they're watching Bonanza, but that's no longer true, okay? There's a lot of things they could do, but they're not in the house of God where they could be. Hey, God's word settled it. God's word still settles the great questions today. So where did we come from? We've got the answer. Now, scientists ponder over that. They worry about it. They send moonshots up and get rocks off the moon, and they say, well, that'll help us to know more about creation. We shot exploration to Mars, and they get these little Mars rovers out there, and they sample the soil, and they always tell you, man, we're getting closer to creation. We'll be able to put, hey, I've got it, guys. He made it. He spoke this universe into existence, all right? And you can study what's here, but all you're doing is guessing up there, all right? Man, I read about them, you know, and they talk about black holes and all that kind of thing, and I have an interest in astronomy, but some of it, man, it makes me laugh sometimes to see what they say. Hey, where'd we come from? The Bible tells us. It settles it. Hey, why are we here? The Bible settles that. We're here to bring pleasure to Him that created us. That's why we're here. We're not here to build magnificent, things for ourselves, build our own kingdoms. We're here to bring glory to Him. Dr. Gipp said we're here to put a smile on God's face. We ought to do that, all right? We ought to do that. Hey, the great questions, how can we be justified with God? You're not going to find that scrounging around, checking out trees in the rainforest. You're not going to find it in archaeological discoveries. You're going to find that in the book. God said it, all right? Hey, can I just tell you this? It settles all the questions about the future. After death, what? Bible tells us. Bible tells us. You hear people that talk about their near-death experience. And by the way, I've never heard anybody that I think was telling the truth that said anything contrary to what the Bible says. You hear a lot of people say, man, I saw this great light. But most time people see that, they interpret that, well, that was heaven. I submit to you, the fires of hell would put out a light. Don't always think, you know, that light is heaven. Don't always assume that. Hey, what happens after death? God tells us. The lost man, he died, and the Bible said in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. No mystery. No mystery. So what about the child of God? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hey, after death, it settles it. It settles those questions. Now, you said, what is the means? How does that take place? Man, more than we can figure out. I don't understand how to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom, gone. And in God's presence. Okay? That is journeying faster than any spaceship has ever been shot. But it's there, okay? There. Settles the question. Listen, one of these days, God's going to divide the sheep from the goats. And He's going to divide it by His word. He's going to divide the believer and the unbeliever. He's going to divide the saved and the lost. And I believe one of these days we're going to stand at the judgment seat and we're going to see the difference in the division between the obedient and the disobedient. And that judgment's going to be a permanent division. permanent division. Hey, that's the work of God. It's the work of God. It was the work of God to say and put this world in existence, to put the universe here. God's work did that. So why did he put so many stars? To keep people busy trying to count them. Just to keep us busy, all right? I mean, there they are. He decorated the universe. I'm glad he did. I've seen beautiful, beautiful, magnificent pictures taken from the depths of space with some of the telescopes that are available. Man, what beauty God put out there. Did he have to? No. No, he didn't have to do that. But he did. Listen, he said it. And he saw it. And he still sees it. He's still looking at it. Your Bible, my Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it. He sees it. He sees what you do, and he sees what people do to you. So, well, nobody cares. Yes, he does. If he didn't care, he wouldn't be looking. He looks, he sees, all right? But he's separated. He wants that separation. Don't try to join together what God said, keep it separate. Don't do that. The whole ecumenical movement is wrong because it seeks to join together what God divided. It's wrong to do it. And you remember this, God settled it. God settled it. You don't get a vote. You say, well, I want a vote. Too late. You don't get a vote. I don't have a say in how. I don't have a say in how I'm going to be saved. I've just got to accept what he said. Got to accept what he said because that settled it. That settled it. Hey, listen, you get a little frustrated maybe. You get a little aggravated and you listen to too many people out in the world sometimes. Don't let it put you in the position where you think you can argue with God. Hey, Jesus said it. That settled it. The old saying used to be, God, you know, the Lord said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's settled whether me and you believe it or not. It is just perfect. It is settled, and it's forever settled in heaven. And God's in control. Remember that, all right? Remember that. And you get a little bit, you know, anxious. Remember, his word settled it. His word settled it. Don't think for a moment, well, I need to do. No, you need to do what God said. You need to do what he said. The challenge for me and you is to find out what God said and do it. Just do it. In every aspect, do what he said. Your marriage, it'll be a wonderful marriage if you'll find out what God said to do and do it. And do it. Children, you're at home and you say, man, I don't like the way things are going. Find out what God said for you to do. Do it, and it'll be a wonderful childhood. The only bad memories I have in my childhood are when I was wrong. When I was wrong. Okay? That's that created some bad memories. I was wrong, and it happened, and that was my fault. Okay? Now I realize some people could say, well, things are done to people. I understand that. But it's when we do what God says, life works. Life works abundantly. Are you doing what he said? Are you doing what he said? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the word of God. Lord, I'm grateful that you said every word of this book. And Lord, I'm glad you see us. I'm glad you see us. You keep your eye on us. That helps us to do right, knowing you're watching. And Lord, I'm glad you did separate some things. It helps us. It helps me when I take and look at what you separated and I stay where I'm supposed to be. You drew some lines, Lord, in the Bible and some boundaries. You separated some things. And if I'll stay on the right side of that boundary, it helps me. Lord, I'm glad that you separated, and I'm glad, Lord, you settled it. Because we don't need to debate it. We just need to find out what you want and do it. Help us tonight to do that. Lord, would you speak to hearts? There's somebody here that needs to change the way they're doing, needs to adjust some actions. Would you help them tonight? Help them to come to you and repent. Get it straightened up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.